Back in the long, long ago, New York and New Jersey fought over the islands betwixt them. Were they New York or were they New Jersey? To determine what was whose, New York proposed a race. All islands that could be encircled in less than 24 hours would belong to New York, those not to New Jersey. Staten Island was the big prize, then described as the most commodious and richest land. New Jersey wanted it, and given the island is huge and back in the day boats were slow, New Jersey thought the island impossible to encircle in under a day, and so it would be hers. But young New York, determined to expand her empire state, thought she had the man for the job, Captain Christopher Billop. The clever captain lashed empty barrels to his ship to help catch the wind and make haste, and 'twas this that made the difference, winning the race against time and encircling the most commodious island of Staten for New York in just over 23 hours. This delightful deed earned Billop historical immortality in books and articles and on Wikipedia, and the embiggen New York gifted the captain an estate, on Staten Island of course, that still stands today, a historical museum and park for the local Staten Island Yorkers that, were it not for Billop, would find themselves Jerseyites instead. What a cute story! So perfect for the video about New York and New Jersey's border disputes I'm working on. But wait, was the 24-hour race around each island individually, or all islands at once? This wording isn't clear. Might as well ask the museum about the route. I've always found that hometown historians happily honor hometown heroes. Well, no reason to just sit around. Let's follow the footnote trail. New York Times, 1913. Okay, Billop gets inspired to put the barrels on his ship. There's great suspense as people await their resident state fate, and Billop took, quote, a little over 23 hours to complete his journey. That's less than helpful, and it's a newspaper. No sources are listed, just the journalist's name. But she did write a book 6 years later containing much the same story, though the onlookers go from suspense to throbbing suspense. And unlike a newspaper, there is a bibliography, yay, but it's not broken down by chapter, boo. I don't really want to go through this. Please tell me the museum wrote back. Wait a minute. More than 200 years ago. The article says almost 300 years ago. That's nearly 100 years apart. When did this race even happen? Almost 300 years ago from 1913 would be 1620-ish, but New Jersey only became New Jersey in 1664 via a royal charter. Which, does that thing even mention Billop? Why do so many organizations put up these tiny, unreadable GIF versions of their founding documents? Then there's no mention of Billop, or even Staten Island. So the race had to happen after the charter, which means it's no more than 249 years before this article. That's the oldest a source could be. What's the youngest reliable source that might mention the race? Well, the Supreme Court dealt with New York and New Jersey island ownership in the 90s. Does that mention Billop?
Number 120 original, New Jersey against New York.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. This was a line not only of territory, but of jurisdiction and sovereignty.
Well, property means jurisdiction, and exclusive jurisdiction doesn't mean exclusive jurisdiction.
Oh.
Well,
would there have been a clearer way to say governing authority?
Well, I think
it's... Than to use the phrase exclusive jurisdiction?
Oh, New Jersey, you're getting wrecked, and it's only just begun.
The United States has exclusive jurisdiction over the original 3 acres of the island.
Exclusive jurisdiction is defined in Article 3 of the Compact, or some other meaning of exclusive?
No, we mean the more conventional description of really exclusive jurisdiction.
I got you, New York.
The case is submitted.
What was I doing? Oh, right.
Nothing about Billop here, but they do mention another 1880s Supreme Court situation, but that also makes no mention of Billop. Meanwhile, the museum still hasn't gotten back, and I'm getting suspicious they're avoiding me. But there is a history section on the site saying the house was built about 1680, and Christopher Billop was a filthy royal loyal, and his home the site of a failed peace talk between the righteous revolutionaries and the conqueror's crown. A traitor for the video. Sweet. Wait, that's 100 years apart again. Oh, damn it, there's two of them. Captain Christopher Billop, 2 L's, 2 P's, and Colonel Christopher Billop, 2 L's, 1 P. The latter, the great-grandson of the former, both living on Billop Manor, Staten Island. This has caused much confusion. But Billop the captain died in 1726, so the race had to happen between 1664 and then. Okay, I give up. Let's dive into this. Nothing is consistent. Look, on Wikipedia and in the New York Times, the race took a little over 23 hours, but the Staten Islander, 1911, says the race took exactly 23 hours and 37 minutes. Where did that come from? And the ship, sometimes she's an Atlantic crossing vessel with cannons, and sometimes she's Billop's personal plucky boat. Or the manor. In the earliest versions of the story, Billop already lived on the manor, but in later versions, it was a prize for his victory. Or the barrels. In A History of Thomas and Anne Billop Farmer and Some of Their Descendants, 1906, 7, there's this paragraph about the exact location where Billup billowed the barrels, but that detail is nowhere else ever mentioned, just here. But in the earlier Morris's Memorial History of Staten Island, 1898, quote, it is said that he covered the deck of his vessels with empty barrels, thus gaining considerable sailing power. The it in it is said, a Weasley phrase if there ever was one, is J.J. Clute, who wrote the Annals of Staten Island 20 years earlier, telling the tale with no barrels at all. And Clute starts his history book saying he spoke to a bunch of old-timers right before they died and got stories out of them to add to the forest of all knowledge that otherwise would have been lost, which is a polite way of saying this is oral history, which is a polite way of saying this is hearsay, which means this is a hear story, which means this isn't history. And so it is revealed. The tale of the race is cute and perfect because it's a Lady Godiva story, told long after it supposedly happened and survived the centuries by being clever and cute and evolving to be cleverer and cuterer as it passed along. It's ye old meme. So much time wasted chasing ghosts. Time to fix the record, and time to let this go. But whose ghost? Tall tales take tellers. Who told this story for the first time, reaching across the centuries to steal hours from my life for the lulls? Okay, I picked up a trail that predates J.J. Clute. There's a New York Evening Post article from 1873 with the race, without the barrels, and where Billup already owned land, by the way, that lists the prime culprit, Reverend Dissoway, the local chronicler who told the story. I'm pinning him as the old-timer Clute spoke to for his book that got the story going. There's references to Dissoway writing articles for the Richmond County Gazette about this race that never happened, and Staten Island's historical archives have digitized hundreds of volumes, but having gone through them all, there's no articles by Dissoway, but there are some missing volumes. Now, look, I don't want to get all conspiratorial here about a history museum that never wrote back or a Staten Island historical archive that just so happens to be missing the couple parts I'm looking for, but I'm in so deep now. I've tracked down the only place on Earth with surviving physical copies of the Richmond County Gazette, the New York Public Library, who just so happens to also list the vital volumes as missing. But are they really? Perhaps somewhere in their archive of old and rare books are the missing editions. But alas, I live thousands of miles away. The trail ran cold, but I have the culprit's name. Dissoway, 1798 to 1868, is the first tall tale teller. But the first written records are lost to history. Time to let it go. I couldn't let it go. I came to the New York Public Library to see for myself that Dissoway's first story about Billup in the Richmond County Gazette really is missing. Oh, this is it. The last place with answers. The rare book room. It's really over now. I tried to talk the librarians into letting me into their rare books crypt, and to my great surprise, they said no. Sorry. But I did get to talk to someone who might just be the world's expert on the Gazette and confirmed to me quite firmly that the lost volumes really are lost. So, this is it, the end of the footnote trail. There's nowhere left to go. While I'm here, might as well go to the Billup Museum and talk to the historians who never got back to me. Ignore my emails? I might just show up. You've got to be kidding me. They closed it? I came all this way and they closed it? Well, at least I know the building is real, though when and why it was built isn't exactly nailed down. And as far as I can know, Captain and Colonel Christopher Billups were real people connected to the founding and freedom of the country. And these hooks on reality probably helped Dissoway's tale survive over the centuries, from his mouth to Clute's ear and book, onward to others, and eventually the New York Times, to be sourced in the Wikipedia, to be found, I wish it had never happened, by me. But here, on the southern tip of Staten Island, alone and locked out of Billup's house, it's really the end of the story. Nothing else waits on this island for me but ghosts and graves. Oh, where is it? I know you're here somewhere.
That's amazing.